Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. If you were from a liturgical tradition, Episcopal, Roman Catholic, I would say, "This is the word of the Lord," and you would all say, "Thanks be to God." Just if you throw it out in the future and surprise me, I'll smile. So, anyway. This is a really perplexing passage in some respects. And my personality is such that I'm always going to be attracted to the part that makes me go, "What? Why does it say that?" First, let's talk about baptism. And actually, one of the things that I did, which I hope you enjoy, it fascinated me, was I find it fascinating to look at how different cultures represent Jesus in imagery. It's one of the things I find quite beautiful. And as I searched for images to use for the baptism of Jesus, I found a number of them like this one. And this one. Very different type of portrayal. One of my favorites as Chinese. Baptism is something we are all asked to engage in, but when I read this passage, there's something that strikes me with the conundrum of how do you wash soap? John says it himself. "I need to be baptized by you." Because John, his baptism was a baptism of repentance, right? John's baptism was, "Listen, you are sinning. You are not following God's path. You need to change. You need to repent. You need to own your sinfulness and depart from that path." In a sense, the word repent has its roots in the idea of traveling one direction and completely turning and going 180 the other direction. Doing a 180. So how do you take Jesus, who we consider the faultless lamb, the man who replaced Adam and living a life without sin, how do you preach repentance to that? And Jesus says, "No, let us do this. It is righteousness fulfilled for me to do this." What a perplexing thing to say. John, his cousin's, his mother's cousin's son, so his second cousin or cousin once removed? I've never been quite clear on those relationships. Family says, "No, okay, fine, I'll do it." One of the most odd things for me as pastor, odd and wonderful, is doing priestly kind of activities with my family. When I serve Brenda communion, it feels just a little bit strange. It's different than when I serve you, partly because she knows me from a different role. These two probably played together as children. John knew who he was. John knew that repentance did not seem right for Jesus. So let's talk a little bit about ancient baptism in general, okay? Ancient baptism was used for more than just repentance, okay? The Essenes, who the Dead Sea Scrolls, they think that was a community of Essenes. They were one of the major groups at that time. So you had the Zealots, the Essenes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were the big powers during Jesus' time. The Essenes were a sect that separated, and they focused on holiness. They used baptism a lot because it was for purification. The idea of becoming pure before praying for God. Baptism was always born, though, out of faith of some sort. And so it would usually involve renouncing sin, and it would almost always involve the concept of cleansing, ritual or otherwise. And it was required, actually, as part of the, if you were a Gentile and became a Jew, it was part of the process of becoming a Jew at that time. Again, none of these really fit Jesus. One of the complaints about Jesus during his ministry was that he would spend his time with the unclean and the dirty. He would spend his time with tax collectors, with prostitutes. And the thing about Jesus is, none of these unclean people passed their uncleanliness to him. In fact, what happened is that Jesus made them cleaner. Again, like soap. Have you ever seen a dirty bar of soap? What does it take to clean a dirty bar of soap? A little water and some rubbing. And can you clean soap without getting your hands clean? You can't clean soap without getting your hands clean. So why is Jesus getting baptized? This is the part that drove me nuts. John's baptism, repentance, that doesn't fly. So now, what do we have? Okay, so this idea of repent. You're walking away from God, you repent, and you turn and face God. The problem is here, that's not what's going on here. Jesus is walking towards God, just like you do after you repent. So if Jesus turns, he's going to turn away. Here's the problem, though, with being literal about your interpretation of repent. Most of us are not walking 180 degrees away from God. Most of us are, if God's over here, we're metaphorically angling. We're maybe approaching a little bit, but we're off the mark. Amartia, which is the Greek word for sin, actually is an archery term meaning to miss the mark. And if you repent 180 degrees, you're getting further away from God. The actual meaning of repent is should be thought of more in terms of, okay, if this is the path that leads to God, and you have strayed, it is to get back on the path or to refocus on God. And so if you think about the baptism of Jesus in that terminology, does Jesus need to change direction? No. He's already on that path. And yet, for him, it becomes a reaffirmation of the path that he's walking on. He is walking towards God already, and to be baptized in that is to reaffirm that path, that track that leads to God. I like this image, which comes from a dome in the Middle East. It's got this Jordan River with all of people riding fish, which is really awesome. But what I love about it is, as the Spirit comes down like a dove, there is that track that leads to God. And I like that imagery because why do we baptize? Why is it we baptize? We baptize for a number of reasons. One of the reasons we baptize is because we're told to, right? Matthew, in the very end of the book, Jesus' instructions are, go ye therefore into all nations, making disciples and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're instructed to baptize. It represents a repentance, saying we have sinned, we have been on the wrong path, and realigning ourselves on the right path. We join Jesus in that track. It represents death to the old sinful way and rebirth into the new life. It symbolically washes us clean, sets us on track. By the way, has anyone here ever performed a baptism, or am I the only one in this room who's done it? Do you know, to actually do it, yeah, you actually have to push to get people to go under the water. It was the most surprising thing to me the first time I did it was lay back and they didn't go down, and I had to push to get them under the water. We need people to baptize us. Because we were made to be in community. Jesus needed John to baptize him. First of all, the physics of it required John to baptize. But John was also his family. And when we get baptized, we are reunited with Christ's family. We need someone to bring us into that environment, to push us down under, bring us back up. Most of us in our walk of faith have somebody who helps us get back on the path. Whether we become baptized as a child or as an adult, we are made to be in relationship with each other, to be in that path together. And in sharing with that, we join Jesus in his mission. Right now, this is one of those things that we live right now in a nation that if your identity is political, is a really, really, really uncomfortable place to be right now. It's a place fraught with conflict if your primary identity is political. Jesus is not political. Some of Jesus' values get co-opted politically. Right? Jesus values life. Life has been co-opted. People are treated as things. Whether we're talking about immigration or abortion. And so, as Christians, as people who have said, Jesus, I will follow you as Lord, we become citizens of God's kingdom. We have joined in that through the very process of our baptism. We have said, Jesus, the path you are on to God, the values you have, the kingdom you've established, our desire is to walk in tandem with you. So my encouragement to you, as we go through this time as a nation, this is kind of my addendum at the end, maintain your priority on Christ over political party, over nation, over everything else. God's values are not part of a political debate. You know what they are. You see them in Scripture. You see them in the life of Jesus. We're going to be studying the book of Matthew for a while, which is going to take us through the Sermon on the Mount. Frankly, there are things in the Sermon on the Mount that make me uncomfortable. I know they're going to make you uncomfortable. Jesus is going to say, love your neighbor, pray for them. But he's also going to say, love your enemy and pray for them. They're going to be uncomfortable things to think about. As we do this, let's remember our baptism. Let's remember our choices to be aligned first and foremost with Jesus, to say, you are our Lord. We are just wayward people. We are aliens in this world. And while this world will eventually be our home, it's not right now. But it will be someday. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your example. Lord, your things that make me say, what's going on here, have always led me closer to you. And Lord, I just pray that for each one of us, as we explore those whys, that we see that clearness of path that leads to you. Guide our spirits, Lord, as we walk through these trying times in our country. Guide our hearts and minds to be focused on you and your example. Keep us out of traps of being baited into political arguments for no purpose, but keep us focused on your priorities, your goals, your love. Because at its roots, Jesus, it is all about relationships and love. God is love. And so, Lord, as we live our lives, help us to love as you love us. We ask this, Jesus, trusting that you will help us in this journey. Amen. By the way, so I did visit two churches while I was out. I visited Table Rock Fellowship and First Baptist. And somebody asked me what I picked up from them. I said, well, I'm not sure, but I do know one thing. Both of them had 45-minute long sermons. What do you think? By my figuring, I got another 20 minutes I can preach at least. No, I'm kidding. Let's go to our song, which is, let's see here. Hymn number 149, God, the Spirit, Guide and Guardian.
Stand.